Welcome to the Unofficial Controller Podcast, your weekly gaming podcast. Episode 190, it's me, RGT, and we've got a returning guest this week. It's TikToker, YouTuber, game collector, it's Dan the Games Man. How you doing, Dan?
Yeah, good. Hello again, everybody. It's good to have you back. Thank you for having me back again.
Yeah, we're doing a special show this week, so it's going to be quite an interesting one. It's about a little quest that Dan's been on. Hopefully we can maybe get him a bit of help with his quest to finish it off, and also it's just an interesting sort of variant on what he's been doing on his channel as well. So yeah, keep listening and you'll find out more about that. But we'll start off as what we always do, and that's all about what we've been playing. So what you've been playing, Dan?
So I've been playing Far Cry 6 on PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. Quite a lot at the moment. It's like I got into Far Cry 5 quite a lot, but it is the Far Cry games are very much cut and paste. Like they are very similar, but I do really like the environment of Far Cry 6. Mm. And I just think they've kind of added, if you haven't played 5, I'd definitely recommend it. If you are, but if you're a massive fan of Far Cry, it's more of the same. It is very good, but
yeah, I think is 5 the one that's a bit of like a guy in a church, like a bit of a cult.
Yeah, so 5 set in America, and this is kind of a kind of nonchalant, just kind of half tropical island, kind of that kind of thing. It's very much, they haven't really committed to where it is, if that makes sense.
Mm, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, and so it's like, I think that's the guy who was in the Star Wars, wasn't it?
So he was in Breaking Bad and The Mandalorian and loads of programs. Really good bad guy from like a series which has a history of fantastic main bad guys. He is really pretty solid.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think I got decent reviews as well, that one, didn't I? Far Cry 6, I think, as well.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. And it's actually amazing how quick it dropped in price for a lot of game. Like, there's a lot of content in there. And if you enjoy it that much, there's a lot of really good season pass content as well.
Mm, yeah, I can quite imagine. They've been quite a popular series of games then. Anything else you've been playing, Dan?
So I normally try and stick with something. I'm normally playing something modern and then something retro. And quite recently, I picked up some really good Mega Drive games to actually have just down here. So I've been playing the classic Toe Jam and Earl.
Mm, yeah.
Such a good... This, for me, like epitomizes like 16-bit gaming. It's just those kind of bright 90s colors, that kind of gnarly awesome kind of feel to everything.
Yeah, definitely. It's got the old 90s tune to it, isn't it?
And
it's very different game as well,
soundtrack as well. Like, the music is absolutely incredible.
Mm.
And I think like the other Mega Drive game I've been playing recently is this game Red Zone.
Okay, I don't think I've heard of that.
So I don't think a lot of people have heard of this game, and I would say it is a hidden gem, because it's firstly, technically, it is an absolutely fantastic looking game. It is amazing they managed to get those graphics on the Mega Drive. So that is just a Mega Drive game, not even a Mega CD or 32X game. It looks absolutely fantastic. It's kind of getting up there to like PlayStation 1 graphics, and it has some of the very first kind of rudimentary cutscenes as well.
Really? Wow, that's incredible to get that on a cartridge.
Crazy, but yeah, for the time, it's absolutely crazy. It's a really good game. It's kind of like the Strike series, so like along the veins of Jungle Strike, Desert Strike, bits like that, but it's just so well presented in the graphics, yeah. For the time and the 16-bit era, it's mad.
Oh, wow. So who published that game?
So it's published by Time Warner Interactive.
Oh, okay. I'll have to keep an eye on that one. That sounds interesting.
It's not a massively expensive game. It's a £20 game in CX, and it's just one don't see very often. So it was quite near the end of the Mega Drive lifespan. That's why I think they've managed to push it so much.
Oh, yeah, they've probably sort of honed their skills on the Mega Drive and managed to really push it, you know, especially one of the last games. You tend to find it with consoles, don't you? The end generation games.
On the console.
Mm, yeah, definitely. Anything else you've been playing, Dan?
That's mainly it at the moment. I'm kind of... We're coming on to what I'm trying to clear a bit of my backlog at the moment for something that we'll talk about in a little while.
Yeah. Okay, mate. Yeah. So we'll get on to me then. Been playing more Spider-Man 2. I reckon I'm probably about two-thirds through the story now. About 34, 35 hours in. But I've been trying to clear most of my districts as those challenges come up. But loving that game. And I still think it's one of the best-looking games I've seen on the PS5 so far to date. Very good. Runs super smooth. So you've got that sort of partial ray tracing with 60 frames per second. So it's, yeah, buttery smooth. Great game. I'd probably say I don't think, me and George were talking about this the other day, I don't think the story's quite as strong as the original Spider-Man.
But, yeah.
You know, it's leading on to other things, so it's still definitely a good story.
I think it takes a lot to top the original Spider-Man game on PS4.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But I like what they've done with added skills and moves and bits and pieces, because obviously you'd already accumulated so many skills and moves from the first game, so they had to change that up. So, and they've squeezed a lot more in. We said this before on the show, I think every part of the game is that little bit better. So your combat's that bit better. You're swinging through the cities that bit better. Your graphics are that bit better, you know. So, yeah, really good. Still enjoying that. I don't think I'll be too much longer before I finish that. But, yeah, loving it. I'll probably be quite sad when that's wrapped up, because that's, yeah, so good. Also been playing Rain Code, which is the Master Detective Archives, which I was talking about last week, which is a lot of mystery sort of game, but with that real odd twist to it. Almost looks a bit like a Persona game, but it's got a very strange twist, which I was talking about last week, where you have to go in a labyrinth in sort of a alternate universe to solve the crimes, and your ghost god who's with you gives you keys to unlock the gates as you go through this labyrinth to fight bosses. And the way she gives you the keys is by you regressing the mystery you've got to solve, and then she vomits up your keys for you. So it's got a strange twist, but for some reason it's not nowhere near the sort of game I'd normally play, but I do like mystery games. I like solving crimes, and it's got that. And to be fair, it looks really good on a Switch. Some of the neon backdrops and that look really good, reflections, that they've done a good job. And probably like what you were saying about Red Zone on Mega Drive. It's getting the end of the Switch. People are pushing it. People are getting some good graphics out of it, you know. So, yeah, I've been really enjoying that. And the only other thing I've been playing, it's been a really busy week, so I haven't had a lot of time, but I had a quick go on our challenge accepted part of our Discord. For you who don't know or aren't on the Discord, we have a section which is run by Digital Monkery called Challenge Accepted, and we have a challenge it runs for a month. And from the first of every month, he'll set a challenge and we have a score table. And it's just for bragging rights, a bit of fun. But that's for that quick, snappy gaming that you can jump in and out and do for a month, see who gets high scores. The first month was the warehouse level on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, which was won by Rose Space Monk. He got a score of 1.9 million on there. And yeah, I got 1.2 or 3, I think, but I couldn't touch his scores. And this month we're doing Sonic 2 first level, Emerald Hill Zone, I believe. That's how quick you can finish the level.
That's got to be a very good run for the time on that level.
At the moment, I think there's two guys tied at the top on 22 seconds.
Ooh.
Which is, I mean, I've had a couple of goes. I think my best is about 33 or 34. I mean, these guys are putting some times in. I think they're hurting their thumbs as well for how many Sonic spins and picking the quick run and boots up on the way through. But, yeah, I think there's been 23s as well, 25s, 28 seconds. And I'm like, wow, that's impressive. So there's a few sort of competing at the moment. But, yeah, if anything like that interests you and you're out there listening, guys, jump on our Discord, Unofficial Controller Podcast Discord, and have a go. It's great fun. All you got to do is do your time, take a picture, take a screenshot, and post it on there. I mean, I'm playing on a little handheld emulation device. People are playing on all different things, emulators. They're playing original hardware. They're all trying different ways of doing it. Some are playing on like Mega Drive Collection on PS4 and 5, you know, so just give it a go. And yeah, it's great fun. It's just good for that quick, snappy game, and where you can quickly jump in. You've got half an hour on to see if I can beat my run, post your time. But yeah, other than that, that's pretty much all what I've been playing. So we'll get on to now the main part of this week's show, which is Dan the Games Man. And an interesting thing Dan has been doing on his channel, he's been going for a complete PlayStation 1 Platinum Collection, which is an amazing feat. I've never heard of anyone else doing this, but it's fascinating. Go check out Dan's channel, Dan the Games Man on YouTube, and it's brilliant. He does various things from going around CEX stores, building his collection, going around people's different video game collections. But this is brilliant. This Platinum Quest is fantastic. So what gave you the idea, or how did this all start then, Dan?
So normally when I collect video games, go out shopping, video games, hunting, however you want to look at it, I normally kind of take it as an opportunist kind of way of hunting. Like, I never have anything I'm specifically looking for. So I wanted to kind of guide my collecting a little bit, like, over the course of this year. So that's another thing with a PlayStation Platinum project. I wanted to try and complete it in 2023. So I started this right at the start of the year. Now we're in November. We are coming to the end. But I wanted to really focus on my collecting just for a small period. And I've always kind of wanted to go for a complete set of something. Mm-hmm. Like, loads of people go for, like, complete NES, complete N64. But I've never seen anyone go for the PlayStation Platinum set. And I think it's just a set that's not given enough love. Like, most people, most collectors who collect for the PlayStation will actively go out of their way to not pick up Platinum games.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, with the 160 games in the PlayStation Platinum set, you are getting the length and breadth and the best games available for the PlayStation 1 in one set. And it's just a fantastic way to kind of curate a PS1 collection.
I've never thought of it like that. That's actually a good point. That is a good way of collecting, you know, because, I mean, this will get onto this point now. So what, let's just let people know, what qualifies a game to be a Platinum edition?
So it's become Platinum label in the UK, in the PAL region, sorry, should I say, because we'll get onto that later on, the differences. With the PAL games, the original black label release had to have sold at least 400,000 copies.
Mm. So these are probably, you'd like to think, the sort of best games you can find on the PlayStation 1, or the best-selling games at least. So, you know, you're probably going to get quite a few of your sports titles and bits and pieces, but you're also going to have them sort of big, heavy hitter games that done really well, really popular. And yeah, like, you going back to that point you said, that is actually a really good way of accumulating a quality collection for your PlayStation 1, because they're all going to be big hitter games, the most popular game.
And you've just got such a wide selection. Like, you've got sports games, like, you've got most sports are covered. Like, there is about six FIFA games, but that's the thing. But you have, like, RPGs, survival horror, adventure games, platformers, racing games, shooting games, even light gun games. There's literally a little bit of everything in the Platinum Collection.
Mm, yeah, that sounds brilliant. Yeah, that's a great way of, especially if you're new to the PlayStation, it's a great way of... Yeah, getting a good collection together. So was this just, this is just your idea? This weren't someone, you know, came on your show or anyone suggested? You just thought, no, I'm going to go for the Platinum?
I can't remember if years ago somebody commented in one of my videos saying, had anyone ever gone for a complete Platinum set? It's one of those things that has kind of become so lost to time. I can't remember how I even came up with the idea.
Yeah. But what made you... went for the PlayStation 1, you know, you didn't think of the PlayStation 2, or would PlayStation 2 be another project further down the line, or it was, you know, what made you choose to PS1?
The reason I kind of went with the PlayStation 1 is I've collected quite hard for the PlayStation 1, and I think I wanted to make it a challenge which was achievable as well.
Mm.
So, like, 160 games is a good number.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of PlayStation 1 games I was missing from my collection, a lot of the heavy hitters, a lot of the games you would expect to have in a PlayStation collection. And it's just kind of realizing that this 160 games was just the very best there was of the PlayStation 1. It was just something that no one had done before as well.
Mm.
Like, we'll probably talk more about it later on, but even getting into research, it is difficult to find a definitive list of every single Platinum game that was released for the PlayStation 1. Like, it's just something that hasn't been a great deal of research. It's kind of interesting breaking new ground with it myself and discovering about some of these games. It's like, it just feels like the final frontier of game hunting.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my next question. I mean, that must be a challenge in its own for you to try and find an accurate list. I mean, have you printed multiple lists, and do they differ on certain games?
I did as much research as I could find, because as I said, there's a surprising lack of research online about it. And combining a few lists, it seems like the definitive list is about 160 games. But pretty much 1 week into the PlayStation Platinum Project, in the very first episode, I did actually find a game not on the list.
Oh, really?
So it was, I think it's in the first episode of the PlayStation Platinum Project. I went to one of my favourite local game stores here in Norwich, Last Level Games, and they had a platinum copy of the Jungle Book Jungle Groove. And it wasn't on my list. So it was like instant. But then it's straight away, like, I've realised, even with all that research, even with all that preparation, there's still going to be wild cards and oddities.
So I suppose as well, the problem, I would probably say, suggest that the biggest problem I would think with the list you get is not if there's a game missing off the list, as if there's a game added that wasn't actually a platinum release. Because you could be searching for something that isn't there.
Because we're coming quite near the end of the PlayStation Platinum Project now, and it is coming down to the last few games, there is games that I am starting to wonder if they physically exist.
I mean, we'll just clear up for people that don't know. Obviously, you have your different regions around the world with your NTSC and your NTSC Japan, and you also have PAL region. But some people think PAL is just for the UK, but it's technically not, is it, for just for the UK PAL?
No, so the PlayStation PAL release areas are the UK, Europe, and Australia.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, so and then they, I suppose they had the same labelling with their platinum games as well, hence why you... Obviously, yeah. Looking for regions, but I suppose other difficulties for you on that would be, was there platinum releases but regionalized? So was there a lot of platinum game just in Australia?
So one of the strangest games I've found so far was Star Wars Rebel Assault 2, which was a German exclusive. It was only released on the platinum range in Germany.
Oh, that's strange. I wonder why they done that then. Do you think it sold, you know, most was 400,000 in that region, or?
I'm sure. See, so I had, when I put the video out of that episode, somebody told me they had the PAL UK version of it, but then they later came back and said they didn't, they had the black label. And this is half the problem when I'm doing the PlayStation Platinum Project, is finding some of the information. So I could be wrong with some of the statements I make in the PlayStation Platinum Project. So it's been this kind of consistent learning curve, but it is so many games that are just available in one country. And then you kind of get the variants as well. Like, I think there's a Need for Speed game which has a different name in Germany than it does in the UK.
So that makes it tricky to find straight away.
Yeah,
because obviously you've got to know the other name of it if you're searching for it on auction sites and bits and pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes it tricky. Yeah, I can quite understand that. So have you had to do much searching on different auction sites in different countries to try and find bits, or have you been quite lucky with your finds? Or
so I would say about 75% of them I've managed to physically find in the wild, be that at charity shops, game shops, CEX, gaming conventions, games market, most of them I have found in the wild, which is what I really wanted to try and do with the PlayStation Platinum project, was to stay off eBay as much as possible.
Mm.
Because it wouldn't be too interesting if I went on eBay and bought every single game. Makes it more. But when it comes down to the region-specific games, that's when I've more had to kind of go to eBay, because honestly, I don't really know many other ways I'd be able to get them other than going. Unfortunately, my budget doesn't allow me to fly to Australia quite yet.
But I mean, I think it's brilliant that you've found a lot of them out in the wild. That sort of proves a point that the majority of these you can still find out there. You know, you still can get them. I mean, have you found that some variants of the Platinum games are actually more expensive than the Black Label, or have you found they're typically cheaper?
So one of the games that's still left on my list is Parasite Eve 2,
mm-hmm.
which this is a brilliant thing about coming on here today. Is that if somebody knows something different to what I know, please do let me know. So I believe that Parasite Eve was a French exclusive.
Okay.
But the Platinum version is about twice as expensive as the Black Label version.
Oh, wow. Oh, I wonder why that is then.
Maybe. I think it's because it's such an obscure game.
Mm. Yeah. And I suppose, like you say, maybe they're, you know, because it was so popular and they hit the 400,000 plus games when they made Parasite Eve 2, but they didn't do such a big run of the Platinum one, maybe. And there's, you know, isn't that many out and about, which is why it's quite expensive. But yeah, I can, you know, 9 times out of 10 people always want the Black Labels, which tends to make the Platinums that slight bit cheaper, don't it? But I suppose in some cases that's not always the case, is it? But have you what's probably your hardest one that you've either found or still looking for at the moment, would you say?
So I think I have a list of 10 or so left that I have never seen. And they are the 10 that I'm kind of starting to question if they exist, which is the most difficult part. But I have had games on the list so far that I had no proof they existed and they still turned up.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So
I think one of the games I never found any information on leading up to was Ridge Racer Type 4.
Oh, okay.
So the Platinum release of that seemed to be quite obscure, but then one of the ways I have always been doing the PlayStation Platinum project is to have any game that I need on CEX's website set up with a stock alert.
Mm.
Because I'm sure as a lot of collectors watching know, the number of PlayStation 1 games that CEX sell has gone down quite abruptly in the past year or so.
Mm, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. That's weird as well, because games go in waves, don't they, of what people collect and bits and pieces. And as we go on through time, the PlayStation 2 becomes more retro and collectible. You know, that's that next generation who are collecting that. So I suppose the PS1s are getting that little bit scarcer and people aren't stocking them so much. But that's handy to have those stock alerts on, though.
That was the way I actually got hold of Ridge Racer Type 4, was just getting lucky and ordering it when it came on. And that's been the only copy I've seen for sale in the UK this year.
Mm. So what we'll do as well, we'll get Dan to put next week, we'll get him to put in our Discord what's left, the list of what games he's got left. If anyone knows or has any or want the parts of any, just jump in our Discord, let Dan know, because we'll see if we can push him over the line. Because how many did you say you've got left to collect, Dan?
So, slight spoiler alert, in case, because I have a new episode of the PlayStation Platinum Project dropping really soon, and there's a big update in that one, but we're down to around 20 games now.
Wow, so you've hit the sort of 140 mark of the games.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad up to about the 100 mark, and then it slowed down, so we hit that quite quick. Mm. But then that's the thing, you get some of the games are really, really common and really easy to find, and then it starts to get more difficult. So as it stands at the moment, there's only 2 games that I need that CEX have in stock at the moment, but I have got my stock alert set up, and one of those games is the game I'm hoping to buy last.
Ah, okay. Yeah, okay. I mean, I was going to say to you, is there games you've sort of looked at and thought, oh, this is too expensive, do I pull the trigger on this? Or
there is There's two games, one of which is very simple. I'm planning to finish the PlayStation Platinum project by picking up Silent Hill.
Ah, okay.
Because it is one of the most expensive games. And this is the thing with the PlayStation Platinum project. The games aren't super expensive. So Silent Hill is probably one of the most expensive games. It's about a £75 game.
Mm.
But the problem is, with a lot of the games, I do have the black label. So I think I bought Silent Hill black label last year for about £85. And it's like, buying it again, it does sting a little bit. And it's one, annoyingly, I've passed about four times this year. And I'm really hoping it doesn't come to kind of bite me in the back. Like, at the last minute, I can't find a copy.
Yeah, strange as well. And, you know, we all know what the video game market's like. It's very wavy with up and downs and bits and pieces. And I mean, I think me and you were talking not so long ago, and I was saying to you, there was PS1 games I bought not that long ago, 18 months, 2 years ago, which were £20-30, and they're going for £150-170. Yeah. And I only come across that by accident. I wasn't looking up prices or anything. And I just thought, wow, that's, you know, it's completely gone off the scale. So I suppose that's something you probably have to factor in as well with this PlayStation Platinum quest. Just, you know, yeah, and then you have to think yourself, do I pull the trigger now? Will it go down? So do I wait? Will it go up?
One thing that did happen halfway through the year, a lot of the roughly kind of, say, £15-20 PlayStation Platinum games in CX actually had a price drop. So the £15 games all went to about £12, and the £20 games went to about £17. So that was a really good time. But then it's kind of like, you do never know when that price is going to change.
Mm, yes. I mean, I suppose that's partly with being patient with some games, but also partly with luck, to seeing what you know, how it changes. Yeah. Hopefully they'll go down a bit just when you want to get them and see how they go.
Whenever I see a game I need now, I will grab it. Like at the start of the year, when I went to Doncaster Gaming Market, I passed on some games and I'm kicking myself now. It's like, it's the weird ones that are right at the end now, like FIFA 2001.
Really?
You would not expect. FIFA 2001 only got a platinum release in France.
No way.
And there's been two copies on eBay. I missed one. It sold for £45 for a 22-year-old FIFA game on the PlayStation 1. And then I found another copy on eBay, which I was just waiting for payday to come around to buy. And I missed it again at £30.
Oh,
it's knowing sometimes you just have to act very, very quickly. And I would be very disappointed if I got to the end of the PlayStation Platinum project and the game I didn't get was FIFA 2001.
Yeah, that would be the last one you'd expect would be a FIFA game.
Yeah.
Because normally when you go in charity shops or you go in your thrift stores, bits and pieces, it always tends to be the FIFA games that are left on the shelves. Yeah. So ironically, to be the game that you needed to last of all would be amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, have you found any challenges with like box variants? I mean, there weren't any long boxes in Europe, or?
Wasn't any long boxes. There is a couple of variants. So I think Moto Racer had a European and an Australian release. I am picking up variants where I can. So I have, and Grand Theft Auto 2 has a variant. So there's the Grand Theft Auto 2 cover, which is a black cover with kind of, say, the loading screens on the cover, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then there's Grand Theft Auto 2, which basically looks exactly the same as Grand Theft Auto 1, but with a 2 on it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Oh, okay. So I wonder, do you reckon they done the first print and then obviously popular, so they done another rerun?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what the story is with that. One is just, that was more just a coincidence. I saw the two variants and just pick them up.
So would you, yeah, so are you going to do that? And if there is box variants, you are going to collect both, or where you can?
I'm not going to go out of my way to get them, but if I come across them, I will, because at the end of the day, my main kind of goal was to have the 160 games to play.
To
have like that kind of perfect PS1 collection. But yeah, if I come across them, I definitely grab them.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose as long as you've got one of the Platinum Editions, it qualifies as part of the 160, because obviously you might be slightly over the 160 if you collect all the box variants and bits and pieces. Because did they do a Platinum in America? Was it called something different there?
It was called Greatest Hits in America. And a lot of people complain about the silver boxes here in the PAL region. If you've ever seen the NTSC Greatest Hits PlayStation boxes, they are green.
Yes, I do remember. I think I watched a YouTube channel. I do believe it was John Hancock. And I think he's got a complete Greatest Hits collection on the PlayStation 1. Yeah, I think I remember him being green. And I think I think they done a yellow variant as well. That might have been PS2 though, I think, when they done the Greatest Hits. And I think they went to red for PS3, like Century.
Yeah, so I think PS3 was the same worldwide with the red Greatest Hits.
I mean, have you haven't found any issues being scammed or anything by anyone when you've been buying online? Or
no, that has been one of the best things about the entire PlayStation Platinum project has been the support of like viewers and collectors. Like one way I really wanted to build the PlayStation Platinum project was trading with fellow collectors, and so many people, yourself included, have reached out to me with like games that I need for the PlayStation Platinum project, or like asking me, do you have this game? Because obviously when I put the videos out, they're normally about the culmination of a month of collecting up to that point. But I've had so many people reach out, like offering me games. Some people are like, we've done trades, I've bought games off people. Some people even donated games to the collection. It's been so good, the kind of power of the community. And I've had like collectors even message me, like recently I had Marathon Gaming. He was at Blackpool Gaming Expo and he was filming the PlayStation 1 games there to see if there's any I needed. It's been the support of everyone has really made this like possible, to be honest.
I think, yeah, I mean, we've got a great community on our Discord and our listeners, and they're all great. And I think they're all fans of your YouTube channel. And they love that section. And they're such an interesting and sort of niche thing to collect, the Platinums. And I think everyone seems to be on board with it. And I'm the same. As soon as I go in a game shop, I'm to Mrs. RGT, I'm like, oh, it's Platinum Games. I'll take a picture and send to Dad, see if there's any of these, you know, because you all feel part of the journey with you. And we're like, come on, let's get him to 160. Let's get the collection, you know, complete. But yeah, such a fascinating thing to do. I mean, do you think you'll do another challenge after this? Is this something that you've enjoyed doing, or have you found it getting towards the end a bit, oh, this is tough now?
I have got something planned, but I do want to keep it a bit of a secret at the moment.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, no,
I'm going to focus on this one because we've got about a month and a half left of the year, and I think it's going to be very close, but hopefully, like, especially like, reaching out today can kind of help me get over that last little bit, because it's getting close to Christmas and it's that last big push for these last few games.
I mean, would you ever consider like going for a PS2? I mean, I don't know how many PS2 ones it was. I would imagine there was quite a lot.
So I have a friend who's actually going for the complete PlayStation 2 library, including the Platinum variants.
Oh, wow. So how many games is that? I mean, there must be 2,000 PAL games on the floor.
Standard, like, kind of black label, per se, PS2 games, about 2,500. I think it's like 300 Platinum releases as well. It's a massive, massive collection. That was one of the things that kind of made me lean towards the Platinum project as well, because I think 160 is a nice amount.
Yeah, I mean, and I know, like Xbox, they done a similar thing, didn't they? They done the, what did they do? Greatest Hits. Did they do Greatest Hits? What was it called? And there was another one they done, Classics, didn't they?
Classics, yeah, it was Classics on the original Xbox.
Because I thought I like collecting sort of the niche of things as well. And I know, like, they've done a few of the double titles on discs where you can get the double. I think they're on the 360, yeah. I believe. And I've kept thinking, I wonder if I could find a list of those and collect all the variants of them. So I find them quite interesting that they do sort of the two-for-one games in the box collections. That'd be quite an interesting one to have. Problem is, that'd be a rabbit hole for me. So I'd start on that and then I'd be...
I actually have one right here. I bought this one quite recently in CX. So it's a Crackdown and Mass Effect double pack. But one thing I do quite like about these is the artwork. Not to tempt you into another collecting rabbit hole, but yeah, they are pretty cool.
Yeah, it's nice having the different things like that, because I always tend to find, especially with like your platinums, your classics, your greatest hits, all those sort of things, they're the ones that people tend to forget about or don't want. So that's, yeah. I find that quite a nice thing to collect, because that is something a bit different. And it is, like you say, it's probably one of the best ways to get a collection up and running.
And one of the things I've always done in the years I've been collecting is, it was something that Metal Jesus said right when I first started collecting. If everyone else is collecting something else, go the opposite way. So like when everyone was really, really collecting hard on a SNES, I went for the Mega Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one was buying Mega Drive. And I think when I first started collecting for the PlayStation 1, everyone was buying N64, and I was picking up PlayStation 1 games so cheap. I do always like to go the opposite way. I like to go against the grain with like collecting. I think that's another thing that like drew me towards the platinum games. Well, no one else wants them. It's like, fine, I will have them then.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. So I'm thinking, you know, probably in the future, I wonder if that will be sort of a more definitive collection as time goes on. And yeah. People will be saying, oh, can you remember when they done those platinum ones for the bestsellers? Or I wonder if anyone's got those. I wonder if they'll turn out to be... Because I wonder if there's... I don't know if you know, but I wonder if there's less numbers of the platinum version of a game as there is... I mean, there must be, I suppose. If they sold over 400,000 copies, the platinum must be the rarer title.
Because I suppose they'd do the original 400,000 and then they'd stop the black label. I suppose it depends how much it sold afterwards.
Yeah, that's interesting. That'd be quite an interesting fact to find out. I mean, and like you say, how many did you say was on the PS2, do you think?
I think it's about 260.
Right. Oh, I wondered if there was going to be more than that. But I mean, 260 is an achievable one, I suppose, isn't it, as well on the PS2. So your friend, is he a YouTuber as well?
Yeah, so he's PS2 Many Games.
Ah, okay, yeah, I think I've seen him on YouTube. So what's he at the moment with his PS2 collection?
I think he's about halfway.
Wow, is he really?
Yeah, but he buys a lot of large bundles. And I think with any kind of complete collection, halfway is the easy part, because it's just like you're going to, say, a CX, a game store, anywhere, and you'll go, right, I need most of these games. That's nice and easy. And then it starts to get harder and harder and harder as you get down to those last games.
Yeah, I suppose you're going to see a lot of repeats of stuff you've already got. I mean, especially with PS2 as well, you know, probably with PS1, but I would imagine there's some big expensive games on the PS2 to collect for. I mean, you get down to some of them more really rare titles. They go for a lot of money nowadays,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so that's, yeah, that's, but yeah, fair play to him. So yeah, check out his YouTube channel as well. So it's PS Too Many Games, did you say?
Yeah, PS Too Many Games.
Yeah, check him out. And yeah, that'd be interesting to see, especially if he's halfway through a PAL PS2 collection. That's impressive. I wonder if he'll go for a full worldwide one. It'd need an extension, I'd have thought.
Yeah, probably if he has enough room.
Oh, man, that is amazing. So yeah, so like I say, anyone who's interested in this, check Dan's YouTube channel out. That's Dan the Games Man. Like I say, we'll add links in. And if you want to jump on board, maybe help him, jump in our Discord. We'll add that. That's always in the show notes. Jump on board. You can help Dan. Maybe, you know, you never know. You might have a game out there and say, oh, do you need this? It'll be like, oh, yes, please. Especially as he's getting down to him last few games. Is there any games I meant to say to you, is there any games you're watching on eBay at the moment ready to pull a trigger, or is it ones you're not sure of, or are they...
So all the way through, I've tried to get as many in the wild, and I've always had a slight watch list on eBay. And as we come to the end, one of the main things I wanted to do with the PlayStation Platinum project as well was to shine a spotlight on as many local independent gaming stores as possible. So, like, we have so many good gaming stores in the UK, and I've traveled around to a number of them with the PlayStation Platinum Project, and they're more the places I've been trying to pick up the games. So I'm actually going to another game store this afternoon to wait to the next episode to see which one that is. And I've got one last big trip planned for the end of the year. I've had like a game store, which I've been meaning to go to for years. And that's going to be the finale of the season. I'm going to go to that game store, and that will probably be about mid-December.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's probably where I'll pull the trigger on the last games I need on eBay. When I've essentially extinguished all leads, I will buy the last ones I can on eBay.
Fantastic. So with these sort of regional variants in the other PAL regions, is there many? I mean, I would imagine the majority of your games you're looking for are UK based PAL, but was there many in Australia or many in the European countries?
It's around 20 that aren't available in the UK.
Okay.
And so, they are the stranger ones. Like, a lot of them are F1 games.
Really?
That's which I'm really not expecting. It's more been the games I was not expecting to be difficult, like the regional variants of FIFA, the French versions of FIFA, the Australian F1 game, the German motocross game, the ones you don't expect.
Oh, wow, yeah. And I suppose, yeah, do you have to go on different region eBays to find them? Or
it's not too bad with eBays. Essentially, how I found some of the beginning ones was being able just to put in the search bar to limit it to Europe.
Mm.
But then I had to go worldwide. And the thing is, with a lot of them, the listings are not fantastic. So say with some, I think it was one of the F1 games, I only found that by luck of just blanket searching PS1 Platinum games.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I suppose they must be hard to find. I mean, have you ever had that gut-wrenching feeling when you've bought a Platinum game and it's turned up and it's a black label?
So one of the ways I have had to buy some of the games is the absolute classic with all game collectors, the CEX roulette.
Mm-hmm.
And more often than not, it hasn't worked.
Oh, really? So you ended up with black labels?
I have had black label instead of Platinum. And you do kind of, it is kind of infuriating.
Yeah, I mean, are they advertising these as Platinum?
Yeah, so one of the differences between the PlayStation 1, on CEX, the PlayStation 1 Platinum games, they do advertise as the Platinum release. With the PlayStation 2, they do not.
Oh, wow, okay. But I suppose, in a way, I suppose they probably think they're doing you a favour sending you a black label.
Yeah, they're probably like, that's a complete opposite. They'd be really pleased with this. But yeah, I think it was one of the games which I've really struggled to find. And then it came up again. As I'm only not going to spoil which one it is because it comes up in the next episode. And it does turn up as a black label.
Oh, no. But also, I suppose, collecting as well. As you're purchasing these games, you plan them as well?
Yeah, so one of the main things I do in every episode is, because with the PlayStation 1, it's got such a large library and such a fantastic library. I haven't played every single game that was ever released for the PlayStation 1. And it's a great way to go back and either relive or discover some of these fantastic games. Like, every episode, I'll sit down with one of the games and play it either for the first time or relive it. Like, I think one of the ones I recently played for the first time ever was Battle Arena Tushiden.
Mm-hmm.
I've never played it before. And that was a really solid fighting game.
Yeah, I think that was a release title as well, wasn't it? That was a very early game.
Really surprisingly good. And just going back and reliving some of these games is just a really cool way to do it.
And like you say, like we said at the start, I suppose as well, you know, you're nearly guaranteeing yourself a decent game. You know, these all sold over 400,000. These were popular titles, so you're getting decent games 9 times out of 10, you know, apart from your FIFAs and bits and pieces, but majority of them, you're getting a decent game which sold really, really well.
Yeah, there is some really surprising ones in there.
Yeah, I bet there is. Have you found there's been some really sort of odd titles, like a Barbie game or anything like that? Or
I think the weirdest one, and one I'm still trying to get, and it's not a rare game, it's just wrong place, wrong time, is Rugrats the movie.
Oh, really?
I cannot believe it sold 400,000 copies, but yeah, I do not have the Rugrats game at the moment.
I suppose they released that at the right time when Rugrats was really popular.
Yeah, I suppose back then, like, movie tie-in games were so big. On the flip side, there's Toy Story 2, which is a really, really solid platform game on PlayStation Platinum. That one was fairly easy to find, but yeah, it's just coming down to the weird... Rugrats definitely stands out as one of the strangest games that managed to sell that number of copies.
Yeah, I bet. Also, I mean, where do you think you've bought most of your games from? Like you say, you think it's mostly independent stores, maybe CEX?
I'd say it's kind of a mix of... It probably is like... I'd say it's 80% mix between CEX, trades, and independent gaming stores.
Oh, well, that's good, because that's quite motivational, really, because that means these are out there. If you want to get this collection, you're going to be able you're going to get a big chunk of this by visiting places and doing it, which is, you know, eBay's got us pluses, it's got us minuses. You do find you sometimes pay a bit of a premium, but they are handy to find those rare things but you can't beat going around game shops and looking.
No, that's one of the most fun things, is going to convention and just then finding it. You're like, there it is. I've looked for this game for so long. You have to kind of poker face it. You're like, oh yeah, I don't suppose I could possibly buy this game I've been looking for 8 months. And I think, yeah, but yeah, trade has been really good at like gaming markets as well. And that's where I think I've got, other than eBay, the most obscure titles.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good thing with sort of gaming markets and conventions. You know, a lot of these traders and stallholders there do have some obscure stuff. So 9 times out of 10, you know, your charity shops, your CXs, you're going to get your standard platinums, which you'll see in most. But I suppose these are the guys that will probably have that Rugrats movie, for instance, or your rarer sort of release in Europe. The chances are that if you're going to get it, they might have it. You know, those guys tend to have the more obscure stuff, because I suppose that's why people go there. You know, they can buy the other stuff anywhere, you know. That's brilliant. That's brilliant catching up on that. And like I say, I will say again, if you're interested in helping Dan, or if you're interested in watching and see it unfold, why don't you go back, go on his YouTube channel, Dan the Games Man, start from the beginning on his first Platinum Journey one and watch him through, because they are fascinating and he's great. No one else is doing it, and it's great fun to watch, and you know, and you never know, you might be able to help push him over the line and hopefully, you know, let's get him up to that 160. See if we can do it in a year. So yeah, it's a year you're doing it over, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, I'm gonna be going all the way up to New Year's Eve. So I did do a challenge last year.
Ah, okay.
So last year I did my top 30 games I wanted for my collection. And one of the games, so I wanted to try and buy or find these specific 30 games over the space of the year. And I actually managed it. I managed to find one of them on New Year's Eve.
No way.
I actually went out, picked one up off Facebook Marketplace on New Year's Eve. So I'm not stopping until the last minute. Even if I have to go to some random game store on New Year's Eve, I will still be going.
Brilliant. Has anyone sort of recognised you at conventions and that and thought, oh, that's the guy going for the platinum set?
I have had a few people come up to me and say, oh, that stall over there, they've got some really loads of platinums. I'm like, right, going.
That's brilliant. Hey, people will all jump on board with you and want to help you get over the line. That's fantastic. But right, we'll move on to now what we're hoping to play. So what you hope to play this week, probably more Far Cry, I expect, Dan.
So the games I'm playing at the moment, I'm trying to clear a backlog, because at the moment we are very close to Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And traditionally, I do the very stereotypical thing of on Black Friday buying a new console.
Ah, what did you get?
So I haven't bought it yet, but I'm waiting to find the best deal on the Xbox Series X, because I've held off a long while. And I think now is the time, as we're kind of getting more of those games that are really taking advantage of the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one game that I'm really, really want to play, and it kills me to say it because it's a digital only release, and that is Alan Wake 2.
Yeah, I think it was Digital Monkery playing that in our Discord, but he seemed to be really enjoying that.
Yeah, the original Alan Wake was absolutely fantastic. Control, if you haven't played it, is absolutely fantastic as well. It's set in the same universe per se. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just want to continue the story of that kind of universe. It just looks so good.
Yeah, they've sort of got their own sort of almost sort of their own genre, really, of how they've taken almost a mystery survival horror, but they're always so well written. Alan Wake, such a well written game, and from what I've seen of Alan Wake 2, I mean graphically looks phenomenal. You know, it does look absolutely brilliant. Like you say, it is for people like me and you who are collectors. Hearing that digital only is a bit oof.
Yeah, it's like oh
yeah. You know, please give us a steelbook.
Yeah.
Because, but I'm afraid that is the way it's going now. So, yeah. So you hope to pick a Series X up then, Dan?
Yeah, some hope. I've been looking. They're starting to kind of drop the bundles at the moment. It seems like every single bundle at the moment is just including the new Call of Duty.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of good deals out there at the moment. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have a Series X and... I think the last game I was playing was New Forza Motorsport on there.
That was one of the big deciding games for me as well. I'm a big Forza fan. Like, I talked a whole episode about PlayStation. Not really a fan of Gran Turismo. Really like Forza. It's kind of ironic.
I don't think you'll be disappointed. I mean, the new Forza Motorsport does look phenomenal.
I think
graphically
when you get
is phenomenal.
New racing games always kind of have the benchmark of what a console can do and how good gaming can look.
I think the actual game and the sort of career mode itself, I slightly prefer Gran Turismo. Mm. But pains me to say, I think the handling of the cars is better in Forza Motorsport. You know, you've got, if you're driving a front-wheel drive hot hatch, you know you've got a front-wheel drive hot hatch. You know, you'll feel that understeer, you'll feel it gripping. It's very, very good. And like I say, graphically, like I was racing in the rain a few weeks ago and the rain on the windscreen, and it just looks absolutely amazing. You know, it's incredible. And you even like in certain light and you'll get your dashboard reflected on your windscreen like you do in real life. And sometimes I'm looking and it's almost hard to tell if it's real or not. It's that close. So they've done a great job of that game. Yeah. So like you say, I think getting a Series X at the moment is probably a good time. You'll probably get a good deal.
With all the games of either just coming soon on Games Pass or on Games Pass, like in the past few weeks, all the Games Pass just exploded. It's just banger after, but you know, you've got Starfield just recently dropped on there.
Mm-hmm.
A AAA Bethesda game, which you're essentially getting included with that membership. I know, again, it's more of the digital, but for the price, it's absolute steal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as soon as I got my Series X, I mean, I've had my PS5 from launch, and I got a Switch as well. But as soon as I got my Series X, even though I'm a physical collector, you'd be mad not to have Games Pass. I mean,
one of the advantages is, as a physical collector, the games on Games Pass are normally really cheap physically.
Mm, yeah, yeah, you know. But now with them, they had their sort of barren period, Microsoft. But now they've picked the game up, and you know, now you've got your Starfields, you've got your Forzas all on there. I mean, that's a no-brainer because you could just jump
even
straight in.
Yeah, there's so many good like indie games on there that I'd never have played. The best example being, hands down, the best game that was released last year, Vampire Survivors.
Yeah, I mean, I still haven't played Vampire Survivors, but this goes back to Scott Marathon Gaming, another one you should check out on YouTube. He's a good friend of the show. He's a friend of yours. He's a great guy. And he put me on to Brotato. So I was playing that for weeks on the Switch, which is similar sort of premise to Vampire Survivors. And that was strange because them sort of games I was never really into, but God, did I love that game. I was so chuffed when I got a complete run through. I was like sending pictures to Scott. I've done a complete run through. But, you know, those little indie games like that, they almost going back to your 16-bit days where it's all about playability. It's all about, you know, it's not about graphics. It's just about that playability, you know, and some of them
are
brilliant.
Perfect kind of games to pick up for half an hour. That's one thing I do love about the retro. If I've only got half an hour to jump on something, I'll always go retro rather than modern.
Yeah. I think I've, especially is my sort of busy time at work at the moment, and doing a lot of overtime. So I've found it hard. If I have an hour, I'm not going to jump on Spider-Man 2. I need an afternoon spare.
You need a sesh for a game like that.
Exactly. So, when I had my Brotator and games like that on my Switch, they're ideal because you can just jump on. You can have a couple of runs through in 10 minutes, and then, if you don't make it, turn it off and you carry on, So that's brilliant. Exactly. They're ideal for that. Went off a bit of a tangent there. But anything else you're hoping to play, Dan?
Yes, ironically, another digital-only game on the PlayStation 5. I'm going to book out some time for this one. Is Baldur's Gate 3.
Ah, okay, yeah. Funnily enough, another YouTuber, another shout-out, Harvey Retro, is in our Discord and releases brilliant YouTube videos and stuff and content. But he has just finished it, Baldur's Gate 3, and he said that wouldn't normally have been the sort of game he would have played. But he said it was a 10 out of 10. He said, absolutely fantastic. Yeah, it
looked, I'm quite a keen Dungeons & Dragons player.
Mm.
And it's one of those games, because of its kind of freedom, it's very hard to kind of put it into a video game. Like, they released D&D Dark Alliance earlier this year, which is essentially like hack and slash, which isn't really what it's about. Obviously, when you play D&D, it's about that kind of freedom to do whatever you want. And it really looks like that's what they've managed to capture in Baldur's Gate 3, is that freedom of, what do you want to do here? Mm. It's like, if you meet somebody, you can just murder them. You can just flat out kill them, or you can taunt them, or you can just do any. It just looks like it has that real freedom, which I think it's taken up to this kind of gen to have that kind of technology available.
Yeah, I think there's a few shows back. I think it was about a week after it was released. One of our co-presenters, Seb, had been playing it. Seb from Pro Nerd Report and the Single Player Podcast. He was playing it, and he just said every decision you can't really make lightly because it will have repercussions. And he said how they've done that game engine like that, he don't know. I mean, I think there was one where he'd killed someone, and this was like 20 hours later in the game. He'd then met someone who was linked to that person and then wanted to get revenge for what. And he was like, he even forgot he'd done it, and it just, everything has a repercussion. So he said it is really, really well made, really in depth. And I mean, that's not normally my sort of thing. Dungeons and Dragons and, that D&D world has always intrigued me. Mm. I've actually bought a starter kit to, maybe start playing the board game, but I don't know, something about Baldur's Gate 3, you see the reviews and you see the reports on it, and I think, I think I could lose some time in that game.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely you start playing and then you realise the sun's come up kind of game. That's why I'm like, right, I'm going to clear everything and just disappear into it for like 2 weeks.
And I think, especially nowadays as well, with the world of updates and games being released badly and games being released broken, it's nice to see a game studio take a genre and a game and do it properly.
Make I think that problem. Game is a really good example of early access gone right.
Yeah.
Because that's been available now for, I think it's years. Mm. And it's like free alpha state, but now it just looks, I can't wait. I'm trying, it's that thing of, I have a little peek at something, like it comes up on TikTok or YouTube, and I'm like, no, wait, just leave it.
Yeah, I must admit, I did nearly purchase it a couple of weeks ago, and then I sort of looked down at my backlog of PS5, PS4 and retro games I've got to play, which is nearly as tall as me, and I thought, oh, I'll end up buying it. I know I will before I've even played any of these. But and I still get days where I think I ain't got nothing to play. You got a backlog as tall as me, and I still. Yes. But yeah, so anything else, Dan, or is that it for what you're hoping to play?
So they're kind of the big ones, and I can't believe we're actually managing to say this, that we are mere weeks away from the Grand Theft Auto trailer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I saw that advertised the other day. I thought, that'd be interesting.
And knowing Rockstar, they might drop that trailer and say it's coming the week after. And imagine that world where we have a date for the new Grand Theft Auto after 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember pre-ordering the Grand Theft Auto 5 on my PlayStation 3, you know.
Yeah, and I remember getting on 360 and just sitting there from the day it came out until the day I had to go back to work, pretty much. I think I slept on the sofa. I think I just went, just lived it.
Yeah, brilliant game. And how successful that game has been is phenomenal. But yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Because, I mean, I think the rumours or whether they've announced this, I'm not quite sure. You might be able to put me straight on this. But is it set in the Vice City universe, I think?
I think it's become one of those things. It's become such a urban myth. It was even ever. We all knew it was going to exist at some point because I know they had that massive data breach last year. I don't know if you saw about that.
There was all like content.
And now I wonder kind of if they will change up what they're doing because of leaks. But I don't know. I think it's now in these few weeks leading up to the kind of actual trailer being released, it'll be the kind of guessing, like you'd think, because we've kind of had, obviously GTA 5 was kind of the same area as San Andreas. Are they going to go to that Vice City? But the thing is, how big are they going to go?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, with sort of the hardware we've got nowadays, I mean, I still don't think people are pushing the machines to the limits. You know, you were getting towards the end of the PS4, and especially with, as me and George always say, the when we had our PS4 Pros, you're getting to the end of the life of those, and they sound like aircraft carriers. You know, they were screaming. You know, and that's what I'd like to see. But I think if anyone could do it, I think Rockstar can. So it'll be interesting to see how big map they go and how in depth. Yeah, because
the map's been the same really for the 360. It was the same map on the Xbox 360. Obviously, less detail and graphically, but size wise, it could be absolute. It could be immense.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what they do with that. And where they go. But I mean, I would imagine they've been making it a lot of years as well. So
yeah,
and they'll probably have a massive online mode again because I mean, Grand Theft Auto 5 online has been absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I think it's the second highest grossing game of all time.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's also, I'm sure I read somewhere that it was the highest grossing form of entertainment in history.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, now getting into the billions, which is absolutely incredible for a 10-year-old game. But
small company, they kind of started off in the UK making top-down PS1 games.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? It proves how far you can come, isn't it? If you get the right IP and people are on it, you're there, aren't you?
Who knows? Rockstar might go back to that top-down Grand Theft Auto.
You never know. And also, I forgot to add this in what I've been playing. We also carried on with our Vice City playthrough over on my YouTube channel for the podcast, which has been brilliant. Loving playing that again. We've finished 3. We're now in Vice City. I would imagine we're about halfway through Vice City at the moment, and we will continue on to San Andreas. But yeah, this one thing I've noticed, going off on a tangent again a bit, now we're playing on the definitive editions, you know, the slightly up-raised ones. I do find them a lot easier.
Really? Does it have slightly more relaxed checkpoints?
No, I think because what they've done is they've put modern controls on.
Okay.
So in like Vice City, if you play the PS2 version, you don't have a camera controls on your right analog. The camera just catches you up, which can make it hard when shooting. You've got that. Also, you've got the almost like the Red Dead Redemption weapons wheel.
Yeah.
That you can select your weapons. So that's a lot easier. And I mean, there was a mission the other night where you had to steal policemen's uniforms. Now, Bald Border from our Discord, who I'm playing this through with, we played this back in the day on the PS2. This took us about 3 days, this mission. We could keep dying and getting killed. We done it in 2 tries the other night.
Yeah,
it's just so much easier having that camera control and the quickness of your weapons.
So have you got to the point yet of doing the radio controlled mission yet?
Well, I've done the one on Grand Theft Auto 3 where you had to drop the bombs in the bins. And
is that the helicopter?
Yeah. And
is it the plane in Vice City?
Yeah, I've just literally done one on our stream the other night when I had to blow up some boats. These guys who were escaping in boats, you had to drop bombs on them. It did take me a while to do it, but I'd done it first try. And again, you've got that right analog control.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot easier. And I mean, I have I've dabbled with San Andreas, which I stopped playing before we were doing the playthrough. And I done the RC missions on there. I remember were notoriously hard, and I could never do them. I used to have to get Bald Border to do them for me. But I have played them again, and I done them within two or three tries.
Yeah, that was a sticking point on a Vice City for me and my friend for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and so that's
like with seconds to spare or second.
Yeah, I think that's why we always remember the games as being a lot longer than what they were. I think the controls actually made them harder. You put modern controls on, that's a lot easier to do those RC plane missions than that.
And so, especially the distraction of back when those games first came out, having that sandbox to just mess around in.
Oh, phenomenal. Yeah, there was nothing like it at the time. And I'm getting all that nostalgia hit playing that again. But anyway, yeah, so we went off a bit of a tangent there. But anything else you're hoping to play, Dan, or is that?
No, I think I should keep. Obviously, I dip in and out of my retro. Like when I find something new, I normally jump into it straight away. So yeah, who knows what's on the horizon?
Yeah, well, for me, obviously more Spider-Man 2. Love and you know that world. You know, like I said, I don't want it to finish really. A bit more Rain Code in the weird, weird world of mysteries that is, but strangely intriguing. I'm gonna have another go at Sonic 2, see if I can get my time up, but I don't think I'll touch those boys at the front. I mean, I think the world record is just over 17 seconds and these boys are getting 22, and I'm thinking, wow. So whether someone beat 22, I'm not sure, but I'd love to see if someone could get 21 or 20. That would be amazing on that level. Also, Tuesday night is what we were just talking about, continuation of Vice City live stream. So yeah, can't wait to get back into that world. So good. The only problem is we can't have the radio on because I got double copyright strike on two songs. So better to be safe and sorry and keep the radio off, which is a shame because it
iconic, you know, soundtrack.
Yeah, it really is. And love the radio stations, but I thought, well, better be safe and sorry. We'll have to, you know, keep the radio off. But yeah, so playing that. Now what's another game I was going to talk about? I was going to play. No, that's gone. Can't remember. That's it. I have got Winging Its Way to Me. If you listeners remember, every now and then George sets me a challenge RGT, to play some obscure game. Last one, it was G1 Jockey. He got me to play on the, and I got the Xbox 360 version, which I was playing. Strangely, quite a good game. I never thought I'd like a horse racing game, but it's actually like a almost basic sort of mild RPG career mode to the game.
I would presume it would just be bashing the X button a lot.
No, it's actually quite a detailed way of, you know, you have to control the whip of your horse. You have to, you know, you don't want to tire the horse out. You have to get it in, you know, time it when you sprint at the finish and bits and pieces. And you have to train and you have to get your stats up. And it's quite an interesting game, actually. That wasn't as bad as I thought. But if you remember a few weeks ago, George challenged me to play Aquanauts Holiday on the PlayStation 1. So I've been finding a copy of that, which I now have, which I should hopefully have Winging Its Way to Me. So if that arrives in time, hopefully I can talk about that next week. So that's another obscure one he sent me. So he definitely pulls these out from somewhere. But yeah, so I should be playing that this week, hopefully, and having a go on that and seeing what that's all about, because should be quite interesting. And we had a bit of an in-depth chat about that last week, me and George, about the development company and where they went. But anyway, we'll get into that next week, hopefully, if I've played it. But yeah, that'll be pretty much that for me. So that's the end of the show now, guys. And don't forget, check out Dan's YouTube channel. Go and watch his Platinum Journey. Watch all his videos, but watch his Platinum Journey, because it is absolutely fascinating. And we'll put links into the show. We'll put links for the Discord if you want to come in, say hi to Dan. You know, if there's any of the games that you think you might have that he needs, jump in there, come and say hi, have a go at the challenges, and go from there. And don't forget, everyone, there's nothing wrong with being given the unofficial controller. It's what you do with it that counts. See you later, Dan.
Hey, yeah. Thanks for having me.
No problem.